Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson, we love guitars.
The attorneys at Gingras, Thompson, and Wachs have had the honor of receiving numerous awards for their work both in and outside the courtroom. But just as important as receiving accolades for being skilled attorneys, it's equally important to give back to the community in which they live and work. Welcome to another podcast. It's SliesOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the Operating Engineers Local 139. Also, our friends with the Madison Teachers Incorporated, Madison Firefighters Local 311, and Madison Teamsters Local 695. Joining us now from the 2nd Congressional District is Congressman Mark Pocan. Congressman, much going on right now? Are you guys pretty much just holding back?
Oh, I think I've been told that I'm on vacation.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what I get from a few of the online trolls. But no, it's incredibly busy, dealing with not only the next COVID-19 package, but trying to get supplies for the state of Wisconsin, from test kits to reagents to personal protection equipment, dealing with constituent casework. I think I'm almost looking forward to going back to D.C. just because I'll have a slightly less 12-hour day instead of what I'm doing right now.
You know, a friend of mine's son, as well as a couple senators, wrote a piece that ran in, I think it was the New York Times, about how we really can set up a safe system where you all could be voting from home rather than, you know, being in such confined areas. And, you know, obviously, you know, the House floor is far more crowded than the Senate floor. Wouldn't it be smart for you to be voting from Wisconsin rather than in D.C.?
Well, you know, absolutely. I mean, I think, honestly, Sly, more of my work that I'm doing right now is, you know, fighting with FEMA or, you know, other federal agencies to try to get supplies for Wisconsin. More of my work is grounded in the state right now than it is federally. And, you know, I think everyone has done a Zoom or a Skype or a Microsoft Team or a web, whatever it is, meeting, and people understand we can do that. And, the problem, I think, has been we have a lot of, honestly, older members who aren't very versed in technology, but that's not an excuse. What I'm far more worried about is those same older members, as well as people who have other conditions, who are going there who shouldn't be. And think of all the staff that we bring in. It hasn't got a lot of coverage, Sly, but, they're doing construction in the Cannon office building, which is a House office building that houses about a third of the members of Congress, and almost 20 of the construction staff have gotten COVID-19. So, you know, there's a whole lot of reasons why we're not really set up to bring thousands of people back to D.C., fly them across the country, and try to conduct business. So we need to set up some virtual ways to still do our proper oversight, but also for things as simple as voting.
I thought it was interesting that Senator Rand Paul, after testing positive, and while he was waiting for his test using the Senate gym, which was technically closed, and dining with other senators, decided to criticize Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, who happens to be a Democrat, for going overboard with some of the restrictions that he's put in place. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, there's this kind of fantasy land that some people live in, but then the rest of us are grounded in reality where, you know, we realize, one, we don't want to get sick. Two, we don't want our families to get sick. We don't want our neighbors and our coworkers to get sick. And the best way you do that right now is you follow the medical advice that's out there and follow the governor's orders, like Governor Evers has. Because if we stay at home, or safer at home, as the Governor Evers says, unless you have an essential job or you have to be working, that's the best thing. And for those essential workers, we need better protections. We have to make sure that people have the PPEs, the personal protection equipment they need. And if we're ever going to really reopen, we've got to seriously crank up our testing and our contact tracing, so we can notify people who've had contact with someone who's positive, and then we have to do isolation. But those are all things that, if we get right, we can reopen safely.
Well, let me ask you, as long as I mentioned Kentucky and Andy Beshear and now Mitch McConnell, the governor of Kentucky very upset, as are other governors, with this statement from Mitch McConnell. I want you to react to the Senate Majority Leader's comments.
But the point is, we're not interested in borrowing money from future generations to send down to states to help them with bad decisions they've made in the past, unrelated to the coronavirus epidemic. We're more than happy, and already have, sent $150 billion down to states and localities to deal with the pandemic, and I think any additional assistance that we provide for state and local government also needs to include some things that are important for everybody else.
He went on to talk about the virtues of bankruptcy for states, talking about how they could get out of pension obligations. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think he should go and work a grocery store line or work at a hospital for a day, and let him also have to reuse whatever protection equipment he has to the point that you don't know if it's safe. And then let him explain why we don't need to give money to local governments, state governments, so that they can actually fund the purchase of these types of items. I mean, it's ridiculous. I listened to Paul Krugman this morning, and I really appreciated his answer, because as he talked about, this is not the time to necessarily be worried about debt. First of all, there's plenty of reasons, and we could have a whole half-hour podcast on that. But right now, we have to do what we can to sustain both health standards and the economy. And if you don't provide that extra assistance to local and state government, we're never going to bounce back and get the economy back to that people can continue to support their families. And, this is just pure ignorance coming out of Mitch McConnell.
So do you think that in the aid package that goes to the states, you think that Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, and Steve Mnuchin are going to be able to come up with something and, again, work around Mitch McConnell?
Yes, I especially in this area. I think everyone who has a thinking brain or a fourth-grade education understands we have to do this kind of funding.
The Senate Majority Leader's poll numbers aren't so good in Kentucky right now.
No, rightfully so. I mean, and what's interesting, Sly, is the public opinion of Congress is actually rising right now. Now, it's interesting because we're not in Washington.
Has that happened? Has that happened in your lifetime?
No, exactly, right? So this is kind of crazy, but they realize what the White House and the administration aren't doing, Congress is at least trying to do. But for someone like Mitch McConnell, they realize he's been, doing nothing more than carrying the lunch for the president rather than standing up and fighting for the people in his state. And, I think this November he has a very good shot of losing that seat.
Here is President Trump yesterday.
Thinking about leading the country, though, in a moment of mourning for all of the lives lost, the more than 60,000 people.
Of course I am. I don't think anybody can feel any worse than I do about all of the death and destruction that's so needless. Nobody. But I also have to make sure that we handle the situation well. Nobody's thinking about it more. Nobody has spent more time late in the evening thinking about what's happened to this country in a short period of time. But at the same time, we have to get our country open again. And we're doing that step by step. Tennessee is an example. Step by step, we're opening up our country. And I really believe that next year we can be, maybe even beyond. We have a lot of stimulus, and maybe even beyond. We'll see about, by the way, package four, phase four. But I really hope that we can be as good or better. I built it once, and we're going to build it again.
He built what?
I mean, what's amazing is, did it take even 3 seconds for him to turn a question about the suffering of people globally to being about him? I mean, immediately it's about how he is up at night of thinking about this. It's about him. And that's the problem with Donald Trump is, when you have a narcissist in chief whose life experience is really being a reality show star, they don't understand and empathize with the job like most presidents, both Democrats and Republicans, previously had.
Well, so, I was going to say, George W. Bush didn't have a successful presidency, but when it came to tragedy and interacting with people, he was really quite compassionate.
Yeah, and that's the job for any president. And, you know, if you're at that level, you should have enough experience to understand that. But Donald Trump makes it about how people are picking on Donald Trump. So the biggest victim in the country is Donald Trump, not the families of the 60,000-plus people who died because they got COVID-19 because of his administration's pathetic response to the disease.
I interviewed former Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson, former governor, and he was warning of a problem with pandemics back in 2005. He talked a little bit about what his plan was with 12 different distribution centers around the country, so there would be proper testing and proper supplies. When did the pandemic issue come onto your radar?
Well, we had briefings going back. I would have to look. It could be January. And, you know, I remember, unfortunately, because I serve on appropriations, I serve on the Labor, Human Services, Education Subcommittee. We've had NIH in front of us, CDC, Dr. Fauci. Through my Ag Committee, we oversee FDA. We've had Commissioner Hahn. I mean, everyone who's a major player in this, I have had a chance to ask extensive questions. And Sly, I think it was 8 weeks or more ago when Dr. Fauci told us if we just shut the country down for 2 weeks, we would beat this thing. And here we are, because we never did the advice that the medical professionals have, now have a 60,000 body count. I think it's 27% of the either cases or deaths when we're 4% of the world's population. That's the reality of not having a coordinated federal response. So, and I've talked to Tommy at the airport about this back when we still were able to fly and go to Washington. And, you know, that's the problem. There has not been a response from the top. So FEMA, and I've been in a big fight with them lately over supplies, I really fault the Trump administration for their direction to FEMA more than FEMA being unable to do their job. It's just they're not getting us the supplies. They gave up on April 8th. They changed the directive, and they just started taking credit for whatever we bought from the private sector, saying they were getting things to the private sector. Well, that's giving up. And now I have some really good reason to believe they're actually going to change their policies again, because they realize this isn't working and this is going to prolong both the health suffering as well as the economic conditions we're in.
Did you ever think we'd live in a world where the governor of Maryland, Republican Larry Hogan, whose wife speaks Korean, found a way to get supplies from South Korea working back channels? And that's the system we're dealing with?
Well, and you know what? In Wisconsin, if I can just bring it back home for a second, I mean, we're very fortunate in that we happen to have a company called Exact Sciences in our backyard who has 2,000 employees, and they do colorectal exams, test kits for the entire country. And because of what they do, they now are switching over to COVID-19. They can do right now 60,000 tests a week, and they're going to be able to ramp up very soon to 120,000 tests a week, and they're continuing to work on upgrading and getting better ways of doing tests. The fact that we have that lab capacity here can make Wisconsin be one of the best states if we utilize it properly, so that if we start proactively testing every single person in a long-term care facility, every nursing home, assisted living center, et cetera, we test every frontline employee at a hospital, police and fire, et cetera. We have every medical network that is out there in our state. If anyone comes in for anything, if they get a test, we have to start doing that. We have to, at minimum, triple our testing to be able to reopen. And fortunately, we have this amazing resource in our backyard. So we don't have to find someone to source from different countries, which way too much of the stuff we're finding is made, especially in China. We actually have some homegrown capacity, and I know that the governor right now is in a lot of conversations with them, and I think we're going to find out very soon that I think we're going to be a leader in the Midwest in this area.
We'll be right back with more from Congressman Mark Pocan here at SlysOffice.com. I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695.
or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from Sly'sOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
We're back with Congressman Mark Pocan here at Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Gingras, Thompson, and Walks, as well as Madison Computer Works and Jeff's Guitar Clinic. Congressman Pocan, let's talk a little bit about, you know, moving forward. Former Vice President Joe Biden was on Morning Joe today. Here's what he had to say when we talk about balancing the choice between the economy and then keeping people healthy.
At this time, we got word that 3.85 million Americans had filed for unemployment just in the last week. That brought the total to more than 30 million of our fellow Americans over the last 6 weeks out of work. So there is a balance that governors are trying to strike right now, from Florida and Georgia to Connecticut and Colorado, of when to get people back in. So what do you say to people who you're talking to in Wilmington or talking to on the telephone these days who say, I get that this disease is bad, I get that it's highly contagious, but the alternative here is me sitting losing my job, watching the small business that I spent my whole life building evaporate? That's worse to me than at least trying to go back to work. What's your message to those people who are out of work or who own a small business and are really hurting right now?
Well, first of all, it's a false choice to choose between getting the disease under control and getting it back to work. If you don't get the disease under control, not much is going to happen. We have to get the number of new cases down and down significantly. There needs to be widespread, easily available, and prompt testing. The federal government should be doing more to make this happen. We have to make sure that our hospitals and healthcare systems are ready for flare-ups and the disease when it's going to occur as economic activity increases and expands. And in the meantime, all the money that's been passed out by the Congress, very little of it is getting into that person that you, that fictitious person you described, a small business. One of the things that I predicted when they passed the legislation, remember, there's an oversight that was supposed to take place, an inspector general. The president got rid of the inspector general. I was put in charge of getting, in the middle of the recession, the last recession we had, the major recession, $800 billion out to help people get back to work and to help things get set up. We had an inspector general. There was an entire team I put together. I was on the phone every day.
All right, you get the point.
Yeah.
What are you hearing from your constituents, small businesses in Wisconsin and people on unemployment? What are you hearing from your constituents?
So we know unemployment systems, you know, are just completely overwhelmed, and they are run by each individual state. The good news, I guess, in Wisconsin is that I saw an article in the last week. We're in the top 10 for getting unemployment checks out. So we're better than most, but we still have huge call volumes to deal with, and they're doing the very best they can. The good news is we do have that surge in place for the next 4 months. That will really, I think, be helpful to people who've lost a job at no fault of their own. However, Sly, I do think that the response for small business has been incomplete. The PPP loans have not been administered as wisely as I think they were intended. I personally am the second on a bill in Congress to have a national paycheck guarantee that would do largely what England and Denmark is doing, which is just outright getting payroll support to companies, so that they can, even if the employees aren't able to fully work at 100%, which is definitely true in almost, many businesses, they still have that paycheck, and that helps them support their families. We could do that far more effectively than I think we currently are with the PPP program. Too many people are not being able to access it still.
So, as you know, the president ordered meat production facilities to open up, the ones that have closed. But we've had problems in Wisconsin in meatpacking plants, like in Cudahy, and obviously South Dakota, Iowa, Kansas, all over the country, with people getting sick, going to work. I understand why he ordered them to stay open and the importance of farmers not having to, you know, destroy livestock and not feed people. But it seems to me there's inadequate protection for these workers that are going back to work.
Yeah, in fact, Representative David Price and I today are putting out something that we're working on this very issue. You know, the problem is you can't just demand they stay open without demanding they have protections for the employees. You can't have people working on top of each other for low wages in very, I would argue, tough conditions and not expect to have the flare-ups that we've had, including in places like Brown County and Kenosha County, at meatpacking facilities that we've seen in Wisconsin. So we need to do more than what the president did. You know, he hasn't used the Defense Production Act to get us personal protection equipment, reagents, and tests that we needed. He has been remiss in that. But then he put it in place here without doing it fully and correctly, which is something that protects the very workers who are in these facilities. So, you know, again, I guess I'm not surprised Donald Trump's not getting it right, but then someone has to. And I do think a big part of CARES 2, the next package that will probably happen in the next 10 to 14 days, will have OSHA and other types of protections for more frontline workers, more essential workers, because that was missed in the first CARES package.
Nursing home facilities. We've obviously had a lot of problems with nursing home facilities. And we haven't had the outbreaks in our facilities in Wisconsin that other states have had, but there have been some. It's my understanding a lot of these nursing homes have workers that make so little money, they have to work at more than one nursing home, which is a recipe for disaster because it makes it much easier to spread. Has this pandemic shed light on whether it be meatpacking facilities or nursing homes on really some tragic system failure with our economics?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, in fact, I would argue even a little 30,000 foot up fly is we're seeing some of the racial disparities this country has when it comes to income inequality. You know, the fact that we talked about meatpacking plants and a large amount of the workers are Latino workers who are working very hard for very low pay. That's why we have a much higher percent of people with COVID-19 who are Latino or African-American. I think all of those things have really stood out. And, you know, the fact that we had to add a $600 a week surge to unemployment to help people get closer to the national median income shows how pathetically some people are making money, especially those at the minimum wage scale. You can't survive on $15,000 a year. That's why many of those workers have two or three jobs with no benefits. You know, this is really highlighting, I think, those issues even more.
Finally, your former colleague, Speaker Voss, at the urging of the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, made it possible at the last minute our first responders would not so easily be able to get workers' comp if they get COVID-19, that the burden of proof would be on them rather than the assumption, that is, if they're out there working in public, that they got it on the job. And the problem with, obviously, trying to prove if a grocery store worker or a first responder gets COVID-19, it's very difficult to do so. Is there anything that the federal government can do to protect these workers and frontline workers so that they are adequately paid if they get sick from their job?
And that's also part of what we didn't see happen in the first CARES Act that we would like to see happen. Again, we have to protect anyone who is considered an essential worker, especially those who are the frontline workers in the healthcare facilities right now. And unfortunately, that's the wrong step that I think we did in the state. Now, I will say one thing, Sly, that they did that I'm very happy with in the package that came out of the Wisconsin legislature that the governor was a strong advocate for, which was the work share program and unemployment insurance. And there, you know, I've been an advocate nationally to make some additional changes, but they took every change I recommended, which will make it easier for when we finally are safe enough to reopen. As you know, businesses aren't going to start at 100%. They're going to be cranking up. And the WorkShare program allows you to hire someone at a part-time amount of hours, but still allow them to get then a part-time amount of unemployment comp, including that surge, so that the business can ramp up as they actually have business so they actually can reopen. It puts way more money in the pocket of the employees than they would have otherwise had just being on unemployment or just on part-time payroll, and it helps save the UI account. It's really a win-win-win, and they did make those changes in Wisconsin. I'm trying to get more changes made nationally. Only 27 states and D.C. have this plan, but it is something that is positive, and I think a lot of small businesses don't know about it. A year ago, one business participated in WorkShare, but now with the changes, last I saw, they're into the thousands of employees that are now participating. And I think once that PPP money, if it runs out, if we're not able to get that extended, it's going to be utilized like crazy. So I'm just trying to help get the word out because, as you know, I've been a small business owner for 32 years. I'm looking for solutions that keep people employed and keep small businesses not ever having to close, because you're right. This is a time where we're going to lose a whole lot of small businesses if we don't act very quickly.
What would you say to someone living in the rural part of your district that this isn't just a Madison or Milwaukee problem?
Well, we saw what happened recently in Brown County. We've seen it in Sauk County. We've seen it in other counties where they have a flare-up because the disease doesn't know a county line or a state line. So, you know, I think we all have to be prepared for what could happen. All you need is one case to have some spread or one workplace to have some spread, and you can have a hot spot in a county that you never would have predicted. I think Brown County last week was in the top 10 fastest increasing counties in the country when it came to COVID-19, all because of a meatpacking facility. So, you know, this is something that people just have to realize that, you know, if we want to get over this and we want the economy to reopen, and we're going to have to just follow not a bunch of politicians, not a reality show star turned president, but we have to follow people like Dr. Fauci and other medical professionals who don't have a political interest in this, but have a public health interest. If we deal with this issue as a public health crisis, you'll also be dealing with it as an economic crisis. And I just really think that's the advice we all have to follow.
Congressman, thanks for taking time to talk with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Sly. As always, appreciate it. Thank you.
Be safe. You've listened to another podcast at SlysOffice.com.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.